We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Hey, Coach, how about those sacks?
About 1-0 Boston. JD Martinez, three-run homer, Rafi Devers, 4-0 Red Sox.
I would love to sit there and hug Wally the Green Monster and feel really good about what's going to happen in the postseason. I don't know how you can with this guy's past history.
I do feel for whatever people thought about David outside the clubhouse.
There's a switch that needs to go off in the postseason.
Strike three called. He got him. That is his fourth of the ballgame.
This guy is scared shitless of it.
Six strikeouts in the game for David.
He's dreading the day the chorus says, you got the ball again.
We can turn the page and move on to the World Series with David Price.
DP, you mentioned believed in David Price.
I want David Price to be successful here.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, let's do it. Oh, the Price Whisperer finally worked. It took a while, but
all of that whispering that you did about David Price.
You have to
finally
talk.
Worked.
You can't be aggressive.
No,
you
can't.
Have to be soft and gentle and just careful with your words. And you don't want to spook him. You don't want to scare him at all.
Oh.
You want him to come out and to feel confident.
Did you hear Price after the game talk about that his kid was here? And it was the first time his kid. Who's you know?
Xavier.
How old is he?
I don't know.
No, right, under one. First time he's seen him pitch in a playoff game, and it's like they had to fly him out there. You know, he had to be there.
Yeah.
And he wanted to make sure he was there.
Cool. So maybe all of them.
Right. So maybe Astro was there as well. I don't know. Maybe some people need that. Okay. But he was brilliant last night.
That's the best I've seen him. I think that's the best fastball he's had since early June.
And how about working the inside, painting that inside corner, and then coming away with that? How many times did he throw that that changeup last night? That was a lot.
I think 41%.
Unbelievable.
It's the most he's ever thrown it. 95, 94 consistently, 96 he hit. And you said, like, he's painting down and in on these guys. He's freezing it. And if you're a right-handed hitter, when you throw a strike in, like a fastball at 94, and you're just like, damn.
You're blinding them.
You know, it's one of those, like, I can't get to that. You know, okay, so I got to cheat a little bit more to get to that. That was a good spot. Like, he's going to keep putting it there. I'm in trouble. I'm going to cheat a little bit because he's going to come back in there again, change up away, strike three. You know, I mean, it's just he had everything working up, down, in, out. Change up was phenomenal. I felt like it would help, right? Like the change up
and
the cutter.
You were right about that.
But I didn't think the power would be there.
No, he was up.
He was
throwing
96
at times. You saw 96 on that gun.
The power blew me away.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. That was phenomenal, and I'm glad he did it the way he did it. You know, I'm glad that first win wasn't, you know, 5 innings, 4 runs, and his team won 8-5.
Yeah.
You know, because then it turns into, well, he still hasn't thrown that great. You know, he didn't need any help last night. He was completely dominant. He shut that lineup down. That was unbelievable to save one of your best starts of the year for that game there and go to the World Series. I was happy for him.
You know, I
crap all over him at times.
But you're right, though. He got a run, what, in the third inning, and he got three more in the sixth or whatever. It wasn't like they spotted him a lot of runs.
No, that was 0-0 game, 1-0 game the whole time he was out there.
He had to do it, and he had to do it against Justin Verlander, who came into the game with 24 scoreless innings in games that had to be won or you go home.
Yeah, he's phenomenal.
Right. He's unbelievable. Talk about pressure. Talk about clutch. Verlander is that guy. And last night, it was Price. Now, I'll throw up the question because we brought it up yesterday.
Yeah.
So let's bring it up today. Was there far less pressure on him? He was playing with house money last night. Nah, we don't have a problem. We lose this game. We have game 6 and we have game 7. And I would say that if he were good last night, as some people thought he was in game 1, I thought it was a slight exaggeration. But he was brilliant last night. That was as good of a start. Mm-hmm. As we have seen in all of the postseason in Major League Baseball.
Well, so we want what you want to do is take away from the moment, right? So
here we go. The
Price
defender.
No, I'm asking you. Yeah. No, I'm asking you because yesterday, all we said yesterday was like, well, you know, it's not game 7. There's not as much pressure there.
All facts, right? True.
Yes.
Less pressure.
I didn't believe anything.
But when you think about
it's
it, you're going against Verlander. They're trying to save their season. You have an opportunity to close them out. They're pissed off. They're down. Their backs are against the wall. I mean, you can take away a couple plays. That series could be completely different. You just threw 40 pitches the night before because you thought you were going to be playing. And you know what? You're trying to fix your mechanics. So I don't want to downplay what he accomplished, especially when you look at his past. I mean, this is a significant, this is like Steve Young. When Steve Young finally won a Super Bowl after playing behind Joe Montana, the only thing that you kept hearing was like, get the monkey off, can't do it, Joe Montana. Finally, he won his own. Now, I'm not saying this is the, you know, sign of better things to come, but for him, and I'll ask Cora this, is the emotion, was it joy and excitement, or was it a sigh of relief?
Both.
Okay, or which one was more?
Because sigh of relief.
I think it's more sigh of relief. Okay, I'm like 80% sigh of relief.
I mean, come on. The guy's accomplished everything.
You don't have to do anything anymore.
I'm just saying he has accomplished everything, right? Other than you know, win a World Series, whatever. But individually, he's accomplished everything. Except this. You know, I mean, I think you shouldn't take away from him because I do think there's a lot of pressure on him. Every time he takes the mound in the postseason, there's pressure on him. He knows. Like he said, I don't have to answer the question in spring training. I don't have to answer the question at the All-Star break. And I don't have to answer the question in September. And I don't have to answer this question the 1st of October next year. I don't have to answer this question ever again. To me, that sounds like a guy that, so far as relief, like just, it's over with.
Yes.
It's okay. Over.
And when we talk about pressure, I sit there and think about, okay, well, the excuses, if he failed, were already written. Because he already had the excuse of, well, 3 days rest. Okay, 40 pitches, man. Cora kind of screwed that up, man. He had you in, he had you out. He didn't know if you're going to play. You wasted your arm. Again, dealing with some mechanic issues, whatever. So the excuses were already written for him, not from him, but from other people, from other baseball people who are saying, oh, God, he's never pitched on 3 days rest. So, of course, you don't think he's going to do anything. So there you go. No pressure. Everyone thinks you're going to fail anyways.
Yeah, I think he puts a lot of the pressure on himself. You know, I really do. And so I don't know about how you guys feel about it. But I think he has got the monkey off his back.
Yep.
I think he's.
Oh,
good. I think going. Yep. I think going. See, I think going forward, he pitched, as I said, a tactical, brilliant game last night. He had all of his stuff, knew exactly how to pitch, knew exactly what to do. He's one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball. Why can't he do that now? Going out against the Dodgers or the Brewers.
Maybe this
because
is
because the one thing he couldn't do is he couldn't get over that hump. And you know what I think really got to him? And you could see it the way he answered questions after the game last night. He was sick and tired. He couldn't deal with people coming up to him with failure and saying, hey, you failed again in the postseason.
David, I know you want to put the team win first, but how good does the win for yourself feel on this stage in these circumstances?
It feels good. I don't think I'm going to have to answer that question next year in spring training or September 1st. When that day comes, I don't have to answer that question now. That's,
it was that question.
It was music.
It was the, it was the question.
Listen, he doesn't. You know, he's right. It's over.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
It's over. And here's the thing. He needed to do that until the questions would stop. Because let's just face it. If he didn't go out there and didn't throw the ball well and got lost again, then of course they're going to ask those questions. And
yep.
Of course you're going to be like, what is going on? Until he does. Now that he went out there and threw that ball game, now you want to start. Let's see where the career goes from here. Now we can talk about the whole Kershaw comparison because everybody's like, well, about Clayton Kershaw? Did you see him give up 4 runs up Milwaukee? You don't ride him. Well, that's because I saw him go 8 scoreless against Atlanta the day before, and he just went 7 innings, 1 run, and got another win, struck out 10, or whatever it was, just 3, actually. But, yeah, because there was a bad outing, but then there was a gem, and then there was another gem, and then there's a bad outing, and then there's a good start,
yeah.
And then there's a bad outing. That's how most guys work, right? Verlander. You know, you look at that and say, man, he gave it up. I thought Verlander wasn't good last night at all. I thought he was all over the middle of the plate.
I agree with you.
I don't think he was hitting corners at all. I don't think he was sharp. Does that mean he had a bad game? Does that mean he sucks in his career? No, he's actually pretty good. Most people are going to have stinkers, right? But the problem is they usually have gems too. So he now has one. And I know the 8 innings, 2 runs, he lost 2-1 whatever a while ago. He's on the wrong side of that. But he now has one. The conversation is over. People will no longer say this guy can't win in the postseason. But I'm sorry, you had to go out and do it last night before we stopped saying it.
Absolutely, and we're going to get people who are calling up today saying, "Yeah, what do you think about him now?" Well, we think he's terrific now, and we think
it's fantastic,
right? And maybe he's figured this thing out emotionally from a pressure situation. But you can't take away history. The first 11 times he went out there, he failed. He succeeded in the 12th attempt. And he deserves credit for doing that. And maybe this is the end of it. And I think the way he was answering those questions, and I was watching all that post-game interview stuff. He was.
Sounded like a different guy.
He sounded.
Relief. We'll do that to you.
But he brought this up. But think of what would have happened if he went out there last night. It very easily could have been because he was going up against Verlander. And I think we'll talk about this later, but I think you're right about Verlander because he was leaving some good stuff out in the middle of the strike zone, and they weren't, for some reason, weren't hitting it. But with Price, if he had not won that game last night, all right, it wouldn't have been a big deal because you could win in six or win in seven. But how would he personally feel? Like he's part of the team? Seems like these guys really like him. You can tell when you see the interviews, when you see the camaraderie, when you see the stuff in the clubhouse. They like this guy personally. They wanted to do well. But if he wasn't part of this and he failed virtually every time he had gone out there and they're still in the World Series, would you have any faith that he goes out in a start in the World Series and you feel good about him? No, the team you feel great about, but he's on a different bandwagon.
But here's what's worse, okay, if you're him. Let's say if he didn't produce, if he didn't have the game that he had. Every single player on this team has been contributing. Every single one. Starters have come out of the bullpen and also started when they needed to. Role players have had big games. Your MVP of this series was a guy that had three hits.
I'm sorry, by the way, I don't know what the line was in Vegas, but I'll bet you Price was a better bet than Jackie Bradley Jr. to be ALCS MVP.
Going into the series.
Yeah. So my point
Jackie
is that
Jackie had three hits.
No,
I'm just saying.
Three great hits.
3 for 15.
Nine ribbies.
He deserved to win the ALCS.
Oh, no question.
Because he changed game two.
Oh, no. Nobody's
game four. No, but I'm just saying.
But going into the series, you're right. You would have taken Price over him as MVP, even though Price had failed 11 times before, right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I like my money. I don't think I would have bet either one of them.
Okay.
But I get your point.
Smart better.
Yeah, and again, he didn't do it with his glove.
Oh, lost.
He didn't do it with his glove. Mookie Betts made the biggest plays in the outfield.
That's a great
wasn't
point.
Wasn't him at all.
That's a great point. So going into the series, if we talked about Jackie Bradley Jr., we would sit there and say, he'll probably make a great play in the series, maybe a couple of them. Defensively, he's going to be big in this series. It turns out your left fielder was gigantic in the series. Your right fielder was huge. By the way, a almost similar catch last night out
same
in right
section,
field.
Yeah,
right, same section, everything. Okay, he does it. And Jackie Bradley Jr., it was all offense. He did nothing defensively. Not that anything came his way.
It
was difficult.
Yeah.
Right. Nothing
routine.
Difficult.
I mean, you talk about,
but his offense was phenomenal. It was the difference of winning and losing.
It just goes to show you it's quality. Quality, not quantity. Well, just give me three really high qualities, high leverage situations where you made the difference.
We forget.
Yeah, we got you.
That the 2013 ALCS against Detroit Tigers, David Ortiz was 2 for 20 with one home run and four RBIs. With a grand slam in game two that pretty much saved the series. That's it. I mean, 2 for 20. But you don't remember that. You remember the grand slam. No one's going to remember 3 for 15 for Jackie Bradley and say 200, whatever it was.
Tied for eighth on the Red Sox for batting average in the series.
No one's going to remember that. They're going to remember a base clearing double to win game two. They're going to remember a grand slam to put away game three and a 2-run bomb to win game four. I mean, he deserved it.
Sexy.
Well, he had a 178 batting average through June 28th.
I mean, the only other guy that could have possibly been in that discussion would have been Evaldi. But, you know, he didn't get that second start, even though he kind of got that hold last night as well.
Which is even funny because it's all those nine, all with two outs. All of them.
They scored everything with two outs. They set
them everything with two outs.
Everything with two outs when you're sitting there going, okay.
Everything.
And they're done.
Two out knocks.
They go on these rallies. Yeah. They produce these runs.
And you see it. I mean, you got, you know, first and second, second and third, two outs, and you're sitting there, one run game, and you're like, man, this is it. And you might have three or four of those in a game. This is it, right? But two out knocks. And you're like, can you just, I don't know, throw something outer half and can I just get a pop up to second?
Yeah.
How about a pop up to center?
Something easy.
Just give me something nice, you know? Because you realize that a ball in the gap is all of a sudden it's two runs and now it's a 3-0 game instead of 1-0. And two out hits are everything. And they got most of their runs, more than half, on two outs. I think they set a record for two strike hits in a series. And they proved that they were better than that Houston Astro team.
Yep.
And they proved that they're the best team in baseball. They're about to prove it next week.
And yeah, it's funny because here's the thing.
I think they're going to roll next week. We'll get to that later.
This is why people like when they see a team that is 15-1, 16-0, whatever, that's breaking all sorts of offensive records in any sport, you sit and they're winning in a crazy clip, you go, I don't believe it. There's got to be something else there. I mean, you start comparing them, like the Red Sox to the Mariners. Like they won 108 games, not by chance.
Mm-mm.
Like they earned every last win that they had. And they overcame every obstacle. They had lots of games where it was like just fun games or crazy games and walk-off. They're 108. You know, they have 108 wins for a reason.
First off, I can go back to the whole, they swept the Orioles. Yeah, but those games don't count. How do they do against playoff teams, right?
So, I had to bring that one back
because it pissed me off, too, just thinking about it. I'm like, do these ones count?
They count.
5-0.
They count.
No, but here's the thing. During the regular season, all right, I knew this is a great team. I get it. But during the playoffs, that's why I needed to see it. I don't know about you, but if you hand me a cup and say it's water, I don't believe you until I take a sip.
Well, you're skeptical.
Okay,
I'm just
saying.
What about you?
I'm drinking.
And then, so you had like David Ortiz. David Ortiz leaves, and then you have this group coming in. Even last year with David Ortiz, and then last year, and I sit there and say, I don't know. This group is going to have to show me. There's a reason why we've been questioning the likability of a ball club. Because we watch them all year long, and you try to stay with them, and it's a long year. And then when all the eyes are on you, all the eyes come to you, the people on the outside, the pink hats or whatever. I'm going to watch the Red Sox, and you get swept by the Indians.
That goes unnoticed.
And you lose 3 out of 4 to Houston.
John?
2 years in a row, you sit there and say, I don't trust these guys. Right. Like, I don't know if Mookie can do it in the postseason, or Benintendi, or Porcello, or Sale. Like, I don't... Price. Like, I don't think I trust any of these guys.
I agree with
you. They needed... to win.
They
needed game 3 in Yankee Stadium 16-1 for people to sit there and say, huh, I didn't think they were capable of going into New York and winning. And I tell you what, I was one of them. I didn't think they were capable of going into New York and winning.
But I think what you were thinking, and I was thinking the same thing, and a lot of other people, was legit. We're going to get revisionist history right now. Oh, nobody believes. And by the way, the players legitimately can say this. They can come out now and say, hey, nobody believed in us. They thought we were just beating up the Orioles, who suck and lost 115 games, and we beat them 16 times or whatever during the regular season. And the players saying that will be right. But you, there were reasons to justify it. 93 wins 2 years ago. What happened in the postseason? 93 wins last year. What happened in the postseason?
You didn't trust
them. Right.
Well, that's what it is.
You knew they were different.
That was fair. Though people are now going to sit there and say,
but
you guys didn't trust them.
We're well aware of that.
But you know what? You wouldn't allow yourself to believe that what they were doing this year was different.
This team is different.
Okay, and that's my point. That's why when the playoffs started, you didn't believe in them. But guess who did?
They did.
This guy right here. This guy.
Ryan. Pointing at
Ryan,
himself.
Take a picture of the guy.
How about the guy that called that was like, Christian, you're the only one who can actually see it.
Oh, unbelievable.
I'm the only one that won anything.
Please. Why is Lou doing these pregame
games? I don't
know. Do me a favor, Ryan. Take a picture of him right now. Make sure you take a picture of him right now, because I want people to see what he looks like as he's sitting here trying to take credit for, I believed in the Red Sox. But hold on. But this team is different. Last year's team did not have the swagger. If anything, when big moments came, what did they do? They freaked out. The team the year before, same thing. Maybe a big part of that was the manager, because this manager was getting all sorts of accolades after the game, and deservingly so. But they're different. They were going up against the Houston team that Alex Cora, and we'll talk to Alex Cora live here in 10 minutes. But Alex Cora talked about Houston. He knew those Astros inside and out. Told us they're cocky, they're confident, they play with swagger. Guess what? His team played with more swagger, more confidence. They put that team in their place. Did you see Price last night? Look at Alex Bregman and say, post that at the end of the eighth inning. Post that.
Well, here's the thing.
All of those little things. Mm-hmm. They threw it right back in Houston's face.
Yeah, and I know you don't want to hear this, and I've said this before. I'm going to say it one more time.
Oh, God.
The reason...
he threw well because he was doing...
The thing is that... so you bring up that whole thing. David Price, he's kind of a jerk. He's kind of an a-hole.
Yeah.
He's condescending. He's a smart aleck. He's stubborn.
Oh, you go back to this?
He's opinionated. Okay? I'm sorry to tell you guys this. You guys are from
That's
here.
That's not a bad
so
thing
you can't
for,
see
for
it.
An athlete,
no,
though.
He's one of you. He's basically a New Englander.
Oh, no.
He's a Bostonian.
No. Why?
That is what he is.
No.
Because of what I just told
you. He's a wise ass?
Yes, he's a wise ass. Yes, he's all those things I just listed, all right? The reason you don't like him Because he's too much like yourself.
No.
Okay, that's what it is. I can see it because I'm from L.A.
I'm not ready to admit it. I'm not ready to admit that now.
Hold on. You can start to see it. He's sarcastic. You're sarcastic.
Well, he looked a lot like us.
He's stubborn.
Last night. Last night he looked a lot like us.
Oh, because he's a winner, right? Because he's a winner. Yeah, he looks like us because he's a winner.
He's starting to look more like us, actually. Last night I thought he looked outstanding.
Now that he's finally won, you can look back and go, wait a second.
No, the first
he was one of us all along. I can't believe I didn't see it.
The first 11 starts in the postseason, he looked a lot like you. Southern California. But getting back to Cora, once again last night, everything he touches turns to a goal. He starts Price. People are saying, what are we doing here? What happened? Devers plays at third. He has another big night. Kimbrel, he brings him out of the bullpen thanks to Eric Gagne, who saved the day. It's about time that deal finally paid off with Gagne. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Even Mitch Moreland, 2-for-4 last night in the game, puts him back into the lineup. And you're worried about him running on the base pass, right, Lou, with his situation?
Well, yeah, I think some of those Alex has been outstanding. But, I mean, once Mitch is healthy, he's playing.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, if he's healthy, he's out there. Devers, I think, is a third baseman moving forward. Boy, he gets so much. I saw this last year, too. He gets so much backspin on balls in a day where there's not much backspin anymore.
Yeah.
Everybody tops the ball. Even the ball JD hit, the hanging curveball, topspin. You know, get that launch angle up a little bit. It was a bomb, don't get me wrong. But when Devers hits a fly ball, I don't know about you guys. I was hoping it was going to get deep enough so the guy could score off the bat.
Yeah, it's a strange swing, though. He does have a...
Well, he gets on top. He just chops at it. But most people aren't chopping. They're swinging up again on the balls up, I'm saying. And he gets this backspin, and it just keeps going. It just takes off. It's ridiculous. He was outstanding. Kimbrel... You knew he was going back to Kimbrel. You had to. Like
after Eivaldi went out, yeah.
Well, I'm just saying. But here's the thing. He did it differently. So last night, he goes out there and he gets David Price up behind behind Kimbrel. And I don't know what situation he was going to bring him in. He said something about it. I was kind of confused on how Price was going to get in that game. But he was really struggling. And he's sitting there going, okay, I got Price hot, but do I want to bring David Price in the middle of an inning? Is he my Kimbrel insurance? So last night, what did he do? Where's Brazier? Brazier's up in the bottom of the ninth. Brazier last night was Kimbrel insurance.
Yeah.
He could come in the middle of the inning, not a starter. So you go Eivaldi, had Brazier out there. Hopefully you can avoid him because he threw a lot. But you had to go to him because you couldn't just see – you couldn't sit there and have that discussion after winning ALCS and Kimbrel coming in going, seriously? That's it? Am I done? You didn't give me the game? You didn't give me the ball? So I walk into the World Series, who am I then? Am I your closer or not? So you can't do that. You're up 4-1. You send his ass out there. They think they figured some things out, and then you got some backup in case it ain't working. But you got to send him back out there knowing you're about to go to the World Series.
He got Brazier right up there after the walk. Matter of fact, after the third ball.
You got to go to him, though.
He was sitting there talking about it.
Something that you said, right, you know, talking about the, like this team can honestly, realistically, like can say, you know, nobody believed in us.
Yeah.
Which is, if you're on that team, is insane.
Well, that's what they all
say. It was such a sign of disrespect. Imagine what those guys are talking about, right?
Games.
You win 108 games, and nobody
believes. Highest payroll in
nobody,
the league.
That's what it is. Okay, yeah, well, you can pay the most, you can pay your players, right? Forget about it. Yeah, well, you know, you should win because you have the highest payroll.
They can say that
Okay,
today.
But the point is, yeah, they can. I'm sitting there going, what an ultimate sign of disrespect,
right?
You're sitting there going, man, can you believe this? You know, we have this MVP, this possible MVP, where all these runs, triples, doubles, stealing bases. We got this new, all this stuff, and nobody believes we can win.
Yeah, but
can you believe it?
The reason why is sort of like, I don't know, let's just say like Cincinnati Bengals start off 6-0. And the guys in that locker room are like, nobody believes in us. They think we're going to just crap ourselves. Why? Well, that's you know why? Because you have. You have the last few years. They could have won 120. And I think there have been people sitting there saying, until you win a series, because I've seen you the last 2 years. By the way, you won the division the last 2 years. I know it was 93, but they were still good years. They used those same excuses. We won the division. And you still don't believe in us? Now it's 108. It's the same thing. It's all relative. I know it's a ridiculous amount of wins, but there's a reason for it. It's not because of what you saw in a regular season. Because everybody kept saying, oh, these guys are great, but when they get to the postseason, Price can't win, Porcello can't win, Sale hasn't won, we'll see what he does,
Mookie hasn't showed up. Because they never have.
Because they haven't. So it's like...
The Bengals is a good example. That really is a good analogy.
Like, why don't you believe it? Because there's some history here now.
You couldn't use 6-0, you would have to use 15-1.
Well, whatever.
Right, you know, first round bye. I mean, you've been smoking everybody. That's it. And I
but
and
you
I
get the
that,
point. But they didn't trust it because of history, not because of what they were watching.
And that's fine. And that's the benefit, and the players benefited from that. Because, I mean, they get free fuel. I mean, they get this free fuel that they can use however they want to, right? Because they don't need bulletin board material. They don't need, you know, you can say, you know, Bregman, you know, putting the Instagram post or, you know, a judge with playing New York, New York. They got their own local media beat reporter saying, nah, I ain't buying it, right? I've never seen a team that wins 108 games and have more questions, right? That's what we kept saying, 108. Most wins in franchise history, blah, 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 blah.
All because of what you just said, though. But recent history.
Again, but my point is, that's part. We talk about how this team changes. The personalities are different. The camaraderie is different. The trust level is different.
There's no question.
And I'll tell you how hard it is for you to accomplish that as a team. And for them to be able to, I guess, eventually finally get it done is amazing.
Well, you guys would know that. The makeup of a team and the chemistry and how that all works. But Lou's right. Was there really that much of a difference? If you're looking at this team with 93 wins, which we thought was a lot last year, and 108 this year.
Well, they held off the Yankees last year. Right, Yankees were a good team last year.
Against a weaker MLB. Certainly, you had a team in your division that was god-awful. So you look at it and say, and Lou just gave you, none of those guys had done it yet. But here's another one I'll throw going into the World Series. So your best two hitters during the course of the season were Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez. They are the two leading candidates for MVP. And up until last night, J.D. Martinez really didn't do much in the series.
Kind of took what they gave him.
Right. Mookie's been okay, but nothing fantastic. Mm-hmm. You said this yesterday, Lou. We're dealing with two teams that are top-loaded in their lineup. It was the bottom of the Red Sox lineup, the rest of the lineup, that won this series for the Red Sox.
The meat of the order was almost setting up the bottom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To have like the big hits. You know, whether it was, you know, J.D. getting his knock, you know, a little curveball up the middle. I know last night he had a hanger. And then he made Bogey getting a single. You know, then all of a sudden, here we go. You know, it was like, whatever, Morlin with the single, or the double, rather. It just, the bottom of the order cleared the bases, basically. You know, the middle of the order set him up. And it's beautiful to go to the World Series and sit there and say, boy, Mookie better wake up, you know, because he missed four pitches last night that I haven't seen him miss in a long time. Two he swung at and missed, and the other two he took. First pitch fastball down the middle, 3-2, two outs to Verlander. That second at bat, I was like, oh.
He's due, Christian.
Oh, I want you to swing it.
Again, you're talking about he is due more than anybody.
Beautiful.
He should explode here in the World Series.
They could win the World Series without Mookie swinging the bat or Chris Sale throwing well, because they've already shown they can beat the Houston Astros and the Yankees.
Excuse me. We got Mr. October. Jackie Bradley Jr. Mr. October.
Tough benching the MVP in the first game, isn't it?
It's unbelievable.
Oh, first game out in L.A.?
Unbelievable. By the way, I never.
Bet someone.
I would have bet the house against it. I admit it. I would have bet the house against him winning MVP for the ALCS, and I would have been wrong. Alex Cora had himself a hell of a series, a hell of a year. He's been with us every week during the course of the season, and this will be no different. Alex Cora joins us coming up next.
If this changes and other people start interviewing me and we start struggling, we're going to point at those guys. That is their struggles, not ours. You know, they jinx it.
We're going to blame Lou Maloney.
That's a great point. At the time of this interview, 80-34, best record in the majors. That's all we can do.
Yeah. The World Series, pretty good, though.
Yeah, stick it, Dalen Keith.
Pretty good, though.
ALCS champions, my friend. We could take all the credit, but we're not going to do that. We'll give it to the team and the players and Jackie Bradley Jr., the people that actually deserve it. And this guy, the manager of the American League champions right now, Alex Cora, who joins us live on the phone. Congrats.
Thank you.
What a great way to celebrate your birthday.
Two wins in one calendar year. It's because baseball games go too freaking long. That's the problem, you know. But that's it. A lot of stuff to talk to you about today. I want to start with just the team in general. You told us a while back about the Houston Astros, and you have a working knowledge of the individuals and the players in that clubhouse. And you talked about the confidence, even the cockiness, the intimidation that those guys had. And I got to tell you, after watching this series, your team was the one that seemed to have that confidence, the cockiness, big balls. You seem to have it to the point where, and I don't know how much that posting of Bregman had to do, but it certainly had something to do with the reaction of your team. But just hearing your guys talk about it last night, how big was that and the fact that your guys right now are just confident?
We're talented, and that's something since day one I've been telling our group. I went to Fort Myers in December, met with David, Chris, Jackie, and Sandy, let them know how I felt about them. Then I went to Miami, and at that time, you know, Hanley was part of the team, and Eduardo, and then Christian, talked to them, flew to the Dominican Republic, and so on and so on. And then the last two I met, it was Mookie on January 3rd. That's when I realized that, you know, I wasn't going to spend the offseason in Boston. It was that big snowstorm in January. I was like, nah, I'm not staying here. And then Andrew Benintendi. And the message was plain and simple. You guys are very talented. You guys should play the part, act the part. You know, people from outside the organization, they feel that you guys are very, very talented. So do not downplay it. It's not that you have to be cocky or arrogant, but hey, man, there's nothing wrong with play with swag. There's nothing wrong with showing emotion. And for the last 2 weeks, it's been like that. It's been fun to watch them. It's been fun to see how much they care and they show on it, and I'm very proud of them.
You know, it was an amazing year, Alex. Regular season, no question. Then the postseason hit, and it was sort of like, okay, let's see if this group can do it. You know, that third year, and I know you're there and J.D. Martinez, and I heard you say something the other day where you felt like your team kind of grew up game three in New York, and I don't know if that was the word for word, but to me, that was the game. You guys, I know what it's like playing in there, 1-1, Yankees, everyone's going nuts. That was the game to me where I said, you got to be kidding me. Like this, they're fine. Like they're fine in this moment.
Yes. And I know they don't listen. And one thing I told them in my first meeting with them, do not let the circumstances around you dictate who you are. Just cancel the noise. Don't worry about what people are saying about you guys. Just stay the course and we're going to be fine. But, you know, I felt that when we lost game two here, the sky was falling, you know. It was like, it's over, you know. 108 games, it really doesn't, it didn't matter, you know. And they show up in New York. We made some adjustments with the lineup. You guys know how I feel about the lineup. It really doesn't matter who plays. We do feel that we're going to score a bunch of runs and we can match up with you. And all of a sudden, they play that game. A lot of energy. Obviously, offensively, it was amazing. And I do feel that game was like, okay, hey, we are this good, you know.
Yeah.
We can play with whoever at any stage. We did it. Then against the Astros, we had one bad inning in game one, you know. He went with the fastball to Reddick, and he got beat there, and then Yuli hit a first-pitch fastball, and that was it. And you know, the manager gets thrown out in the fifth inning, too. That wasn't fun. But we felt all along that we were going to be able to match up with Houston. You guys know how our at-bats in the last third of the games are amazing. You know, we match up with bullpens. It really doesn't matter. We faced the best bullpen stuff-wise 19 times during the season, and we were good against the Yankees. So Houston, the Indians, we felt that we were going to be fine. It was just a matter of get to the starter, you know, push him, you know, hopefully out in the fifth or sixth inning and bring the bullpen. And where we, in the era we live, that's hard to say, obviously, you know, because the stuff that bullpens have is amazing. But we like that. We like facing those guys, and we showed it, and now we're going to the World Series.
So David Price pitched a great game,
yeah,
right?
And
you got to be happy for him, because I saw some of your comments, obviously, listening to some of these yahoos on the radio and, you know, and in print,
nah,
you know,
nah,
not honestly, believing in them.
No, and you guys, I used to work for on TV. I know how it works, you know. You got 2 minutes to talk about players and dissect plays and let the fans know how you feel about it. But yesterday, I don't usually put the network in my office. I'd rather watch other sports. And there was a show, and this guy was crushing David. You know, I get it. We know the numbers. You know, he has struggled in the postseason, but the way he talked about David, man, I was like, wow, this is amazing. You know, I think he even called him trash. I don't know.
It was Evan Roberts, I guess.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm not gonna call out one dude. I know, but because Dude, Alex, listen, I'll be honest with you. After that New York start, I was killing him on Monday, too.
You gotta be in the office, and when you're a manager, and you, if for some reason...
Sure, he's your guy. On,
and I heard it. I was like, you know what? He's going to be fine. And when I saw him throw 94, 95 with that changeup, and, you know, throughout the start, I was like, this is going to be great. He was amazing. He was amazing. I talked to him about it right after we learned about Chris. And he was up to the challenge. You know, he threw the ball well here. I'll tell you guys that he matches up well against them. And that one, we can say that I knew something about them because I listened to them last year, and it wasn't comfortable for them. I don't know if it's the angle, the fact that he pitches inside, but. Last year, they didn't like facing him. This year, got some feedback from the start in Houston and feedback from the start here in Fenway. And I was like, man, this is the right guy to pitch game two. And I'm glad that he pitched game five. You know, I'm very happy for David Price.
Yeah, and I think I'm sure he's happy also. But I'm trying to imagine, like, what emotion is stronger for him after that game? Was it a sigh of relief that he got that monkey off his back or just joy, the fact that they won?
Joy, honestly. His pitch, you know, he won game two of the season. That was my first big league win. I think he won our 100th game this season. And now he pitched this team to the World Series. And there's a guy that in the clubhouse, very respected. They love him. This guy, he's in every bullpen of every starter looking for anything, you know, try to help him out. He's in the video room during the game looking for, you know, help, trying to help hitters. He's into it. He's into it. And all he wants to do is win a World Series. I don't know if he listens. I don't know. You know, I never ask him. But one thing for sure, he cares. He cares, and he wants to win a World Series ring. And yesterday... That was his best game this season, and stuff wise, that was amazing. You know, the four seamer, the changeup, the mix, and then that's a pretty good team. That's a pretty good team, and the way he did it, you know, it was cool to see.
We're talking to Alex Cora. It was fascinating watching you deal with that bullpen, starters, whomever you needed at the time. But I'm wondering the uncertainty with Chris Sale and how much that played in the last few days. Now, there were already things you had to be concerned with regarding him. Then he spends a night at the hospital. Can you give us an idea of what you were dealing with as you're looking at the uncertainty? Is he going to be available tomorrow? Is he going to be available Saturday? And you've got to put together enough arms to go and win these games.
Yeah, he was going to be available to pitch tomorrow. And I'm glad we won in five so he can, you know, keep gaining weight. That's the most important thing.
I'll help him out.
Yeah, but like the whole postseason is amazing how these guys, they're always available. Rick Porcello was in the bullpen yesterday. I'm not saying that we were going to pitch Rick Porcello, but the fact that after game four, he comes up to me, he's like, hey, I got enough bullets, you know. I didn't go far enough. I'm available tomorrow. In game three, after batting practice, David Price goes, hey, I'm in the bullpen tonight. And it's not that I'm going to go to them, but the fact that they're available, it sends a message to the rest of the group. You know, we're all in, man. And whenever we have a chance to win games, you know, late in games, up three, and we can bring one of those starters to give us three, four outs, we'll do it, man. You know, the off days, November is coming. We'll make sure they get their rest in November, December. We'll make a new program in February for the starters. But it's fun to watch them compete. Their stuff is a lot different when they come out of the bullpen than when they start. It's not that, you know, when they come out of the bullpen, it's all in, all out. You know, yesterday we saw it with Eovaldi. It was 101, I think, 102.
Yeah, 102.
Bregman. Porcello throwing four seamers out of the bullpen. It's a weapon, and we're going to use it to our benefit. And if we have a chance to win today, we'll go for it today, and then we'll figure out tomorrow.
Okay.
And that's the mentality, and it's been fun to do it. And fun to see them get involved in the program.
All right, Alex, you said Chris Hale would have gone tomorrow. Is he your game one starter on Tuesday night at Fenway?
Yeah, Chris Hale is our number one starter. You know, most likely David will be game two. But we'll see who we play to this whole National League. We know one thing for sure, you know, we got Rick. Rick has to pitch either three or four because he rakes, you know. He's our best hitting. I mean, he's a weapon, you know. So, but we'll figure out, man. You know, we'll talk about it tomorrow as a group. But, you know, Chris is ready for game one. We'll decide about game two and three and four. You know, let's enjoy this one. Let's enjoy this one. It was a tough league this year. You know, the Yankees, mm-hmm. the Indians, the Astros, and now we're here. We get a chance to win the World Series, man. Four more wins, and it should be fun. It should be fun.
So I'm not surprised you went with Kimbrel last night. He's your guy. You know, you got four more to win. She's going to be your guy. I saw you after the game talking about mentioning something about Gagne. Giving you a call about tipping pitches. I noticed he came set to his belt and not in front of his face with his hands when he came set, but that's the curveball. The other one's the fastball too, so I'm guessing there's some other mechanical things that he continues to work through.
No, he's working, but you saw the swings yesterday. Carlos Correa was late on fastballs. Mm-hmm. Marwin Gonzalez, he took three fastballs right down the middle. And we've been wondering for a while, man, since that, you know, you got to give credit to the hitters too, but that ninth inning in New York, there were some good breaking balls thrown, and 0-2 breaking balls from Kimbrel usually swing at, and Gary Sanchez took some good ones, and I keep looking, and I didn't find anything, and then, you know, Eric, who, you know, he was part of the Red Sox in 07, and he struggled. Well, he helped us out. He gave us a call. He talked to Craig. And when I saw him yesterday with his hands at the belt, I look at the dugout, and there were a lot of people looking around because usually when you know a guy is tipping, you got the pictures, you got the video, and all of a sudden he came up with the hands at the belt. I was like, okay, game on. And you saw the quality of bats. You saw it. So we're fine with him. He's going to be fine, and he'll keep pitching that that ninth inning, and if we have to use him in the eighth, we'll use him.
So Stephen Wright hurts his knee, and he's not able to be on the postseason roster as of yet, but throws a bullpen session, says that he's ready to go. And matter of fact, his quote is, it's just a matter of if they want me on the roster or not. So will Stephen Wright be on the World Series roster?
No, we'll talk about it in the next few days. You know, it's good to see him get back on the mound and, you know, pushing himself to be available, but I think it's too soon to talk about roster decisions. You know, we don't even know who we're going to play.
You're going to play L.A. That's who you're going to play. I'm willing it to happen,
that'd
Alex.
Be cool, you know.
I'm from L.A.
He's always wrong, Alex.
Yeah, for me personally, you know, it'd be cool to play the Dodgers. You know, I was drafted by the Dodgers. They gave me my first chance to be a big leaguer. I was part of the organization for 8 years. It'll be great, but As far as like, you know, saving money and all that, man, the plane tickets from San Juan to L.A., they're very expensive. So, I don't know, man. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Whoever it is, it'll be great. Good teams. Two different teams. One relies on their starters. The other one, they rely on their bullpen. So it'll be interesting, but we will be ready.
All right, now that it's all said and done, I've got to ask you about this, because in the middle of the series, we had this big controversy. We thought we were having the next Spygate, the next Deflategate, or whatever. And you have a working knowledge of everybody. You know these people intimately down in Houston. And next thing you know, friend of Jim Crane is sitting there. He's got the camera going off of his phone. This pissed you off, because you had to have a working knowledge of what some of those guys in Houston were doing. You're in the middle of a series against them, and there they are with a camera in the photo well into your dugout.
No, actually, I took it the other way around because they openly say that they were playing defense. They were trying to check on us if we were stealing signs or doing something wrong in the dugout. So,
do you believe that?
I told the guys. Jeff Luhnow, he came out and publicly said that. So I took it the other way around. I was like, you know, paranoia is working for us. You know, like they're panicking, and throughout the series, we did a lot of stuff as far as like dummy signs and all this stuff to keep the paranoia going, you know, and that's part of the game, you know, tipping, stealing signs, relaying pitches, and paying attention to details. And that's the way I took it. I was like, well, if they feel that way about us, we might as well, you know, push the envelope and keep doing a lot of things that were going to make them uncomfortable. And you saw it, you know, they kept changing signs and the tempo of the game was awful, but that worked into an advantage, I think.
Hey, Alex, last one from me. I know you played the Yankees 19 times. You knew this Houston team there last year. Whoever is in the World Series, you obviously won't know as well, maybe, as the last two. How does that change everything? I mean, I know advanced, and you guys are going to have everything, every stat, but not seeing it, not knowing it, more of a trust factor. Does that change things going in, or a different feeling going into a World Series?
Yeah, I mean, but that's what it's all about, huh? I mean, you play the National League. You don't know too much about them. If it's the Dodgers, well, we got Timmy Hires, our hitting coach, so we'll know a little bit. One thing about the Astros, and I know not too many people have talked about it, you know, I know I worked for them for 1 year, but Craig Bjornsson, he worked for them 5 years, you know, and he was the bullpen coach. So we had a great idea of how they were going to attack. And, you know, you saw the game plan. It was almost perfect. And he has to do a lot with Andy and Timmy, obviously, and the rest of the coaching staff. Dana did an outstanding job. Ron Rennie, Carlos, and Goody with Ramon. You know, everybody was all in, but I think CB was amazing for us. You know, the information he provided was great. And if it's the Dodgers, well, I mean, Timmy worked with those hitters for a while, so we'll do the same thing. One thing for sure, we'll be prepared. As you know, we got people following those two teams for a while. And when Tuesday comes, we go to Fenway. It should be fun. You know, looking forward to it.
All right, Alex. It was great talking to you. Congratulations. You're pretty good at this stuff. I don't think you have to worry about going back to that silly media job.
Thank you.
You don't have to worry about that.
Four more.
We'll see you Tuesday and Wednesday over at Fenway Park. Have a good one.
Thank you. Take care.
Right. You got it. Alex Cora right here on OMF.
Go Brewers, go Sox.
There
I
you go.
I never root for the Dodgers, by the way, as a Giants fan growing up.
I understand. I get it.
Who are you
gonna be rooting
for?
Dodgers.
Pardon me?
I hate the Dodgers.
Well, I guess that settles that.
I mean, I'm a San Francisco guy, so... I mean, it's like Boston, New York diet over there. I hope they do make it, and the Sox pound them.
Nice.
Wow.
Edelman.
Tell,
Brady.
What a hater.
You
tell they're really
they're
into it.
Northern Cali's. You know that. Giants fans hate Dodgers. You hate you're a Dodger fan. You hate the Giants.
Well, we all – and here's the funny thing. We all love the Padres.
Well, because it's San Diego. Everyone just loves
weird?
San Diego.
It's like – you know, the Giants hate the Dodgers, Dodgers hate the Giants, but both teams love the Padres.
Are you going to wear this Dodger cap every show now?
No, once, no. It's I am so I am 100% on board with
you know
Red
what's really
Sox.
Into
I'm
this?
Red Sox love. I am reborn.
Why are you wearing the Dodgers?
Because I want the Dodgers to be successful.
You know who else is really into this postseason right now and really pulling hard for the Boston
Who's
Red Sox?
That?
Did you hear the emotion in Bill Belichick this morning
really?
When he was asked about it?
Okay, how's it going? Good. All right. Friday.
Hey, Coach, how about those Sox?
How about them?
Any words of encouragement or anything?
I don't think they need any. Whatever they need to do, they can do. Hit, pitch, run, play defense. Take pitches. No good.
Any message for Alex Cora? It was his birthday yesterday, by the way.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
By the way,
I was ready for the. They're a good team. They're good at all phases of the game.
By the way, I don't think you're going to get a birthday wish quite as emotional as that, Lou.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, birthday.
Yeah. I mean, he really broke it down, right? I mean, he was like, what was he saying?
All three facets of the game.
Whatever they need to do, they can do.
Hit,
pitch, run, play defense.
Take pitches.
We're going to open up the phone lines at 617-779-7937.
Edelman just responded to your tweet.
He can go suck it.
You tweeted out, he's just a hater. We don't want him as a fan anyway. And he said, Giants bubs.
Bubs. what did he say that
we
one time?
Dodgers.
He hates.
What did he say that one time? Watch your mouth. What was it?
Yeah, no. Watch your lips.
What was it?
Some of my lips.
This whole tweeting thing has really got me all fired up now. Like we can have a
go
a
back
Twitter
at
battle.
You won't.
I don't even see it on
you
there.
You were awful last night, by the way.
I was awesome at it.
Yeah, you were.
I was
awful.
Great.
The guy's name is Bregman, not Bergman.
I did it on purpose.
I hate Bergman.
It's Bregman, Alex Bregman.
It was my Luke Voigt moment.
Oh, Jesus, you just totally.
I hate Bergman.
I lasted about 35 minutes.
You know what? The Brewers are going to win both games this weekend, tonight and tomorrow. We're going to win them both.
What?
The Brewers are going to win tonight and tomorrow.
I said, Lou,
it'll be
who's
the Brewers Tuesday
the
night.
He wants them to lose. He wants them to lose tonight, so either both teams will be tired and be worn out, so they have less rest than obviously the, you know.
Are we traveling yet?
I want the Brewers.
Do we know if we're traveling yet or not? The company, is it still up in the air? They don't know.
I don't know if you two are.
You were traveling.
I think so, yeah.
You're traveling. But we don't know if we're traveling.
I already got my schedule set.
He's got dinner at his parents' house all set
in
up.
In Milwaukee?
Screw Milwaukee. What? Oh, here we go.
You know what's the best though? We're sitting there and we're trying to go over the show.
Oh,
we want to make
great.
Sure we don't miss any hours of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And since it's we're going to LA, Christian, for some reason, suddenly says, we have a short show on Friday. And we're going, and Lou says, how are we having a short show on Friday? It's an 8 o'clock game.
Time change.
And he says, well, yeah, but
5 o'clock out there. It's a 5 o'clock start out there.
What do you think, like the hours disappear when you go from the east to the west?
I was so excited.
You just move them back. That's all.
I was like, oh, yeah, we only have to work 2 hours. I was like, oh, crap.
Idiot.
After Glenn and I stared at you for about 5 seconds, you sort of looked at us. You're like... Oh yeah, that's right. So that means we're on from 11 to 2 then.
Like,
11 to 3.
I won't have time to take my hikes. Go along, you know, the Santa Monica Boulevard.
Get up early in the morning. That's all.
You know, listen, if Dodgers LA, personally, I don't care about the ratings. Okay, I'm not. You know what? As far as TV goes,
TV does.
That would be huge, right? That'd be a huge
bigger
draw.
Than Milwaukee, no question.
The Brewers have two starters.
Right.
Chacin and Wade Miley, who's throwing the ball well for them.
Yeah,
but he's still Wade Miley in my mind.
It's bullpen.
And what do you think that bullpen looks like by game 4, 5, 6 after what they do here? Because if they get there, they're going to unload them tonight. They're going to unload them tomorrow. And they'll have 2 days off before they get ready to unload them again for another 9 days.
Brewers win tonight. Brewers win tomorrow. Red Sox sweep the World Series against the Milwaukee Brewers.
It's that bad, huh? They're that much better.
I wouldn't be surprised either.
I mean,
Christian, they've won 7 of 9 games. They've gone in and beat the Yankees twice in Yankee Stadium. Lou was talking about that with Alex. That's a difficult thing to do. And now you go into Houston, the defending
champs. Well, I'll say this.
You sweep them there?
I think both those teams are pretty good. You know, and the thing is, too, it's not only one of these series where you're just like, who are these guys? You know, and maybe
is
you still
Houston
will.
A better team?
Oh, yeah.
Then L.A. or
Houston's
Milwaukee?
A better team than both of them. Absolutely.
I agree.
But, I mean, I don't think Houston, you know, played well. I don't know. The Red Sox overwhelmed them. They proved that they were the better team. You can catch anybody on a given night, right, for 4 days, get hot, gain confidence, whatever. The point is, if it's the Brewers, you know who Lorenzo Cain is. Christian Yelich is going to be the MVP. You know Ryan Braun. Aguilar, I don't know if you know him. Moustakas, Travis Shaw, Curtis Granderson. They got some guys there. And, you know, the Dodgers are the same way. You know, they got a lineup that you're looking at, and they're both good
there.
Lineups.
Yeah, there's Ooh, names there. Yeah. I just think this is a better team.
There's names, but they're not great hitters, but there's names. It'd be a good series.
Let's get to the phone call. 617.
Pedroia and Machado can maybe have dinner together.
You don't think the Dodgers have 3 out of 4 lefties? You know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't know. I mean, a lot of Steve Pierce. Does that take Devers out? I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not, too.
Then you get your outfielders. Yeah. You're going to take out one of these guys, JD. Right. You're going to take out Jackie maybe for a couple games, Benintendi for one.
Don't worry about it. Brewers. Ellie is in Taunton.
I want Machado.
Ellie.
Yes.
How are you?
Hi, Ellie.
Thanks for answering my call. I appreciate it. I've been waiting for a while.
All right.
Thank you for waiting.
Listen, I am a first-time caller. I listen to you guys all the time. You guys are super.
Yeah.
Okay? I enjoy it. Even when I'm down the basement and upstairs, I listen to all the time.
We can be heard in all rooms of the house, by the way. It's a new thing.
Yes, I do. I have a couple of things that I wanted to ask you guys, your opinion. I know that after game 4, a lot of people, including Danny Ainge, had comments about, like, Mookie Betts went up and the gloves were touched, and they call it, you know, an out. So, but at the same time, in that game, this is a carbon copy from game 4 to game 5 On Adams went for the catch. I watched a frame by frame of his catch.
Who?
The ball, it actually hit the netting part, because that's why you hear the loud microphone sound.
And Ellie, who's Adams?
Well, the gentleman from the Houston Astros who went up for the ball. I'm sorry, I couldn't get his first.
Oh, is that Kemp in left field?
Yes.
Okay.
How far back are we going?
I like stories.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm confused.
Yes, so he went up, and when if you look at him, he had his eyes closed, but when he closed his gloves, after he hit the ball, and he hit right into his glove.
Okay, so get to your point here, Ellie, because we got a lot of calls here, so get to the point.
Okay, the two things I had was that you had the Mookie Betts, what happened in Game 5, same thing happened, Mookie Betts went up and catch the ball. A lot of people had a lot of questions about what was happening, right. And then, of course, you had Benintendi.
Right. Okay, I'm totally confused. He's mixing all of the
outfield defense was outstanding.
Right, I thought he was going to try to compare last night's catch by Mookie Betts with the night before. It wasn't quite as deep, and noticed that the fans understood how to handle it this time.
Arms up,
get out of the way.
It wasn't even close.
Right, but it was
totally different.
Right, totally different.
Game 4.
He's poor guy. Borelli's back to the basement.
Who is this? Here's Nathan Lane.
Here's Abby and Bellingham. Abby.
Nathan Lane.
Abby.
Hi.
Hi, Abby.
Hi, Abby.
So I just wanted to talk about how Kate Upton is tweeting about the Red Sox and stuff.
What is she saying today? I didn't see her tweet.
Congratulations.
No, she actually didn't tweet today.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
She retweeted yesterday some guy's post about how MLB wants the Red Sox. I mean, not the Red Sox. Yeah, the Red Sox and the Dodgers to play together.
Right.
And that's why the call was overturned.
Okay. Mm-hmm. She loves her guy. And, you know, she's going to say whatever she can to support Houston because she loves her guy. Right?
Yeah, wait till you see what she's like when Blake Snell wins the Cy Young over her guy.
She's not going to be
happy.
That's
the next tweet.
She's not going to be happy. I think it's going to be very similar. Pete is in Millville. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up, Pete?
It's going good. Hey, I'd like to get your opinion on something. You know, I think Dana Lavangi is kind of flying under the radar of the success that this bullpen and the pitching staff has had in the postseason. If you remember, around 2 weeks before the season ended, he had a lot of these starting pitchers pitching two innings, maybe an inning and a half, and I think that might have led to the success of a failing bullpen in the postseason. What do you guys think?
He deserves some of the credit, as everybody does, right?
I think Dana Lavangi's awesome.
He's terrific.
I think he's done a great job. Remember, not only did you have a first-year manager, but you had a first-year pitching coach who was a bullpen coach, who was a catcher. And a lot of people said, you know, can he do that? Dana Lavangi, I don't know if you remember, not like the end of the year when they hadn't hired a pitching coach or a hitting coach yet. And I said, they could hire Dana Lavangi. And he said, which one? I said, both. You know, he could have been the hitting coach.
Yeah.
Like, that's how much he knows of it. But I think he's done an amazing job with these pitchers. Again, a relationship that they like. You know, he's out in that bullpen. He dealt with them for years. Relates to his players. And his knowledge of pitching is amazing. Even though he never pitched, he was a catcher. He's great.
Who is the guy that is in the bullpen?
Greg Bjornson. That's the guy that Alex was talking about, who's been in Houston for 5 years.
Houston.
Who has probably helped him more than maybe Alex did.
Yeah, because he was giving Kimbrel like a nice little pep talk before he actually came into the game. Almost like he was like reminding him, listen, keep your left elbow in and keep your hand up. It was like, you know, follow through with your pitches so we don't tip your pitches.
Nice.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.